D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes with you. We are live at the Circa Sportsbook inside the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Head on up here, I should say, if you are looking for a place to watch Monday Night Football, Lions at Ravens tonight. Plus, find out more details on how to win a trip to Las Vegas to watch the Titans play the Raiders next month. I also want to introduce and welcome our new presenting sponsor, Bax Homeworks. Bax Homeworks transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. You can visit them at baxhomeworks.com. All right. Titans lose. We know that already. You lived it. We lived it. We wasted our afternoon. Some of you went to the game. As I was watching the game yesterday, guys, I thought to myself, if you listen to this station, if you drive around Nashville, you see plenty of advertisements and billboards for personal injury law firms. And Titans fans, especially those of you who actually went to Nissan Stadium yesterday, I think you are entitled to compensation for pain and suffering, for having to pay for and or watch this crap. Plain and simple. Derek, you have been uncharacteristically quiet today, which concerns me because you are usually blowing up our text chain, and you said that you were marinating in your thoughts.
I would use the word simmering.
Simmering is also a good word.
He used marinating. I felt like there was a little more hot, like simmering.
Marinating, simmering, whatever synonym you want to use, boiling over. So I am prepared to just hand it off to you in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But yet again, and this is what we are going to discuss pretty much the entire show. And we want to hear from you immediately. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan looks out of his depth as an NFL head coach. It happened again yesterday. You all saw it. In case you didn't, let's quickly recap what happened at the end of the first half before I turn it over to Derek Mason. It's late in the second quarter. The Colts are up 17-6 after missing a long field goal. The Titans run five consecutive run plays for Tony Pollard. Two before the two-minute warning, three after the two-minute warning. The Colts take a timeout to stop the clock. Then the Titans immediately take a timeout right after that. Despite all of that, the Titans get called for a delay of game on the ensuing field goal attempt. Pushes them back 5 yards. Joey Sly misses from 62 yards. Colts have better field position. They hit the field goal as time expires. By the way, Titans lose 41-20. So yet again, we have another example of Brian Callahan, as I said before, looking out of his depth as an NFL head coach. Derek Mason, your thoughts.
Wow. Some of the same things showed up again that showed up in the last game or the game before that. His inability to coach at critical points of the game. That was a critical point in the game. And, yes, you got to start stronger. I just want some conviction in what he does. Damn it, just do it. Don't hesitate. Don't. Go back. Damn it, just make the call. You the head coach. Just make the damn call. If you don't kick a field, your kicker has proven he has a strong leg. Why the hell are you debating this? Either go for it or let the kicker go out there and kick. Okay, you didn't let him kick. They call a timeout, I believe. Yeah, they called a timeout. The Indianapolis Colts called a timeout. So you had damn near a minute to figure out what in the hell you were going to do. In a minute. Damn near. You had really a minute because you had the 30 seconds or the 45 seconds for the timeout. And then you had about 10 seconds before you even had to go out there to kick the field goal to decide what you wanted to do. But you didn't. And because of that indecisiveness, You cost your team 5 yards. You, once again, cost your team 5 yards. Push your kicker back. He ends up missing a 62-yard field goal. You would have had it had you just made a decision to either go for it, or if you go for it, you don't make it. The fan base is like, all right, you tried. You were aggressive. You kick a field goal. Some are upset, but you make it. Fans can't be too mad. You go into halftime, hopefully, you know, and don't allow them to score. There are some fans that are a little, you know, uptight, but for the most part, they're like, okay, we got some points. But you didn't do either of that. And then you allowed them to score points. Once again, doing dumb stuff to hurt the team. You talk about players doing that, and we pointed out each and every time, players doing dumb stuff to hurt the team. Well, what about the coach or the coaches? What about those people that do things to compromise what you're doing out there on the field? Then what? Who do you go to? There's been 2 weeks now, two out of the 3 weeks, I can say, along with everybody else, it's clear as day, that you were the cause of points being scored against you. You, the head coach, because the decision you chose to make, or the indecisiveness, which caused you a penalty, and then you still wanted to run the man out. If you have enough confidence for him to kick a 62-yard field goal, why the hell did you have to think about it, kicking a 57-yard field goal? Why? Why did you have to think about it? If you rushed him out there to kick that 62-yard field goal, why didn't you just send him out there to kick that 57-yard field goal? That's what I don't understand. Those are the things that make people come up with their own conclusions. You're not a good coach. I'm still not going there. I'm still not going there to say he's not a good coach. But man, oh man, you are sure enough making it look as if you're not a good coach. You are making it seem as if this job is way above your pay grade. And they're paying you a lot of money. And even with that, you act as if this is way above your pay grade at times. That's what the fan base is thinking. That's what they are thinking. He can't get the job done.
Willie, before we get your thoughts, I want to hear from Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan, of course, was asked about this unfortunate series of events after the game yesterday. So let's hear from Brian Callahan first, then we'll get Willie's thoughts. This was Brian Callahan discussing his decision-making yesterday after the game.
We went back. I was going back and forth, but we were talking about going for it or kicking it, and that's a kick that Sly's made and a chance to make it a 17-9 game in that moment. You know, it's a hindsight thing. If you go for it and get it, great. If you go for it and don't, you know, then you're in the same spot. And thought we had a chance to get points there. You know, Sly's been really reliable from deep. He's a bit of a weapon for us, and he's been that way thus far in the season. And then we wanted to kick it, and they were waiting for some operational things to uncover and, you know, just like to go faster. Obviously had no intention to take a delay a game there. Didn't want that to happen. Obviously looks really bad at the end of the day, and that was not not the intention to do that. So wanted to be able to kick it.
Once you call timeout there, mm-hmm. I mean, don't you know what you're doing? Shouldn't you have your personnel on the field?
Yeah, certainly. We were going back and forth and wanted a minute to think about it. I was going back and forth between the fourth down call and the field goal, and decided to go take points in that particular situation. And, you know, the operational part of it to kick it on time didn't happen.
What's the benefit of having your offensive personnel on the field after the timeout?
Because I hadn't decided yet at the moment what we're going to do.
I mean, how could you have their timeout, your timeout, and still not have decided?
Like I said, we were having a couple different conversations about it, and ultimately that was a decision we made.
What kind of message, though, do you think that sends? Like, not going for it on fourth and not long, not going for it, you know, what message does that send to your team?
I don't know. I don't know what message that sends. I was trying to take points and make it a 17-9 game at the half. That was my intent. So I don't know.
It's a terrible exchange right there.
When Teron says, his response is, I don't know.
Look, he was rattled.
Yeah,
right
he was spiraling. The job is too big, and I hate to say it. Because I purposely, on Mondays, I don't listen to anything because I want to have what I look at. I want to have my own sort of idea of what I want to say. I don't want it to be tainted by anything that I'm hearing. So I didn't hear any of this. That right there, if I'm an owner, I'm saying we need to talk tonight. We need to talk tonight. I'm not saying I'm firing you, but we need to talk tonight. You can't give me an answer for what message that sends to your team. You are out of your depths, buddy.
Well, let me take it back, because it goes so much further to me to that whole exchange, which was awful. He made it even worse with the how he handled the questions. But let's talk about basic football in this day and age, right? I'm not talking about 1990s where it was more archaic. It was back then. It would be more like, are we punting?
Yes. Are we punting?
Or are we going for it? Yeah. Right? Or the kicking a 57-yarder probably wasn't in the cards back then. But in the days, now that we know what we know about analytics, when you are, this is again goes back to the theme. They hired this guy to be a coach and a play caller. When it is third and two, you have to know, are you going for it on fourth down or not? That's when the decision gets made, not after it gets to fourth and one. There should be no indecision. It's, hey, we got two plays to get this third and two. Am I right? Wrong, D-Mace?
No, you're right.
That should be the decision. It should be over. The next play should be going in, especially when you're the play caller. It's third and two, and you have not decided what you're doing on fourth. It's 17-6. If it were 13-13, and your defense is playing well, I mean, forget about all that other stuff, but you can't stop the Colts. Field goals aren't going to beat the Colts.
No.
You have to go for it there. But the decision-making process has to be made on third and two, not on fourth and one in this, hey, I'm not sure, hey, let's go back and forth, let's talk about it. You don't have time to talk about it. Look, I have tried. You know me, I am trying to create a lane because I don't think it's good for Cam Ward to have what has happened. We have chronicled a dozen situations in recent pro football history, where if you pull the plug on all of the terminology, you bring a new guy in, it is not good for the quarterback. And this is coming from a guy that said they shouldn't have even picked the quarterback. They should have taken the picks, which is looking more and more like what they should have done, especially when you look at what's happening with the Giants. Heck, they could have had two top five picks. But let's put that aside. I'm trying to help this guy out, but he is not making it easy for the people they're just trying to say, look, I don't know if the guy's a great coach or not, but historically, it is awful when you have to switch the coach and the play caller and the offensive system for a young quarterback who, by the way, has no talent around him. This is a tough job. They do not have personnel to win. So you cannot compound things on top of it by making basic mistakes. That was a debacle. I was measured about how they handled the end of the first half in Denver. They messed it up. It could have been a lot better. But this was way worse to me in the situation you're in.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose. It's 17-6. If you go for it and you get stuffed, hey.
Hey, we went for it.
It's fourth and one. If it were fourth and four and you had a chance to kick a 57-yarder, okay, I could see that. Or fourth and six, sure. Fourth and one. Down 17-6 is a no-brainer. But as you said, D-Mace, if you make up the decision third and two, we get this, we're going. If we don't get it and it's fourth down, we're kicking.
Exactly.
That's okay. You made the decision. And we can second guess that. I wouldn't have agreed with that, but at least you made the decision. The decision has to be made on third down, not during a timeout, not while the thing's going on. You don't have your – that was terrible.
When we discussed Brian Callahan's status – last week, we all agreed that there is a low ceiling on how far a head coach can take a roster that is this bereft of talent. But the issues Callahan is having are independent of the personnel. He does not appear to have a feel for the game or know the rules in one instance in Denver. And therein lies the issue. We know that even the best coaches would struggle to squeeze success out of the roster that the Tennessee Titans have right now. But Brian Callahan has been a detriment to the Tennessee Titans at least twice in 3 weeks in terms of games. Two of the three games, Brian Callahan has done something that has put the Tennessee Titans in a terrible situation. So I'm like the both of you. I know Robbie Stanley said it plainly today. Brian Callahan needs to be fired. It's incredibly difficult to even come up with a articulate, simple, I don't even know what word to use, defense of Brian Callahan, because there is none.
Well, the defense of Brian Callahan is continuity. It's what's best for Cam Ward.
But continuity, to borrow something else from Robbie Stanley, continuity for the sake of continuity is not a solution. If the Titans think that Brian Callahan is going to negatively affect Cam Ward, you got to get him out of here. And it doesn't appear that's going to be the case yet, because he did his news conference today, and he appears to be headed to Houston this weekend. And talk about a pressure situation, high pressure situation for Brian Callahan, going to Houston of all places with an 0-3 start. Let's quickly go to Michael on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael, thank you for holding. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, we see the memes and the jokes about, you know, Kirk Cousins can't perform in prime time. It seems to be the same thing with Callahan when it comes to the two-minute drill at the end of the half. Because every single game we've played so far, he's just bought something. With the Rams specifically, it's we score that touchdown to tie it up. We get the interception off of Matthew Stafford. Immediately an amazing field position to possibly go up 17-10 at the half. And there's just something about him. He's just so conservative, even when we have all the momentum in the world, that he just wants to play for the field goal no matter what. And I really don't understand why. I just don't get it. I was out on him after the first game. I'm even more out on him after this one. But just to at least get a little bit of levity. The Vanderbilt, I can't believe I'm saying this, but at least we have Vanderbilt football to root for in this city right now. Anchor down.
4 o'clock.
And Michael, 4 o'clock. Clark Lee on the program, so be tuning in at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock to hear Clark. 4 o'clock. How about that? Should we call it 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Let's call it 4 o'clock. Okay, I fumbled my way into a segment title. 4 o'clock. There we go. Clark Lee will join the program at 4 o'clock. 615-737-1025. We see your calls. We see your texts. We will get to them next. If you want to get in on this, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I love a fired up Derek Mason. I especially love a fired up Willie Donick. That doesn't happen very often. But a member of the Indianapolis Colts said something yesterday that I cannot wait to see Derek Mason's reaction to what this Colts player said. And we will do that coming up next, because, once again, this is another indictment of Brian Callahan as an NFL head coach. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from Queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12th South. Don't miss a snap.
Ready for it. Yeah, Hecker has 16 completions.
Play game.
Oh,
on the
man.
Offense, that's a 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
That's terrible. And I know it's still within his range, but you're making life a little harder now, aren't you?
It's absolutely unacceptable. The fans are booing, and they should be. I don't know what happened. Hecker, the holder, was trying to get them to reset the play clock. But we just went Colts timeout, Titans delay a game on a field goal attempt. That might be a first.
They may have had the wrong football out on the field. This is going to be the longest. This could be the longest field goal in Titans history. It's a 62-yarder from the near hash mark. Good snap, good hold. Kick is on its way, and it was deflected. It's going to be off to the left. It was deflected by Grover Stewart, who got his hand up. And the fans are not going to be happy about this.
And now the Colts get the ball where they missed it.
And the ball to start the second half?
It takes a lot for the CBS crew or the Fox crew.
Most crew.
Most NFL broadcasting crews to be that openly critical of a team's decision making. But you couldn't help it in that situation. Willie Gondick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at the Circa Sportsbook inside the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Head up here if you are looking for a place to watch Monday Night Football. You can also find out more details on how to win a trip to Las Vegas to watch the Titans play the Raiders next month. And fortunately, there are also a lot of other fun things to do in Las Vegas. So you can win the trip and maybe you don't go to the game. Who knows? But you can come up here and find out details on that giveaway. Before we get to something that I can't wait to get Derek's reaction to this. But before we get to that, let's go to William, who has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to say, this is a question for Derek. Do you think that the Titans with Callahan, do you think it's a thing? Because I've sort of felt since I've seen him, his first press conference and everything, that maybe the players wouldn't respect him and sort of fear him the way a coach should be feared and the way that they should be feared. And another thing I want to say to the last caller, I'm going to give a shout-out to the team, the real team of the state of Tennessee, the Volunteers, Go Big Orange.
Thank you, William.
So he had to one-up him.
Yes.
You say. But the difference is that Vandy's undefeated.
That's true. And again, it's going to be
no, UT's a damn good football.
They're on collision course. We're going to find some things out in Knoxville a little later.
Yes. 4-0 Clark, which I stumbled on as a – I'm going to have to ask Clark if he likes that. 4-0 Clark.
I think you will.
We'll talk to the undefeated head coach.
It's flexible when he comes on.
At least this season undefeated.
You know, it's flexible when
yes. he comes on. It's at some point during the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah. It don't matter. As long as he comes on.
Anyway, your response to the caller.
As far as
– like the fear is an interesting one to me.
I don't think there's – it's not fear. It's disrespect. It's respect that you have for your coach. It's not a fear of anything. It's just you have – respect for your head coach, so you're going to do things a certain way. You're going to make sure you're doing the things that you have control over. If he's asking you to do something to help better the team, you respect them, so you do it.
Let's use an example of fear.
Yeah.
All right. And I had a coach that I don't fear him today at all, but there was a little bit of fear, and not of, you know, he's you know, going to scare you in the middle of the night or anything like that kind of fear, but there was a stickler for detail, right? Let's use some examples of other things that are happening to the Titans. Have they lined up wrong a few times? Yep. Have they had illegal motion? Yep. That is the kind of thing that my coach, and I'm talking about Eddie Fogler for Vanderbilt basketball, we would run every time somebody on our team would do something like that, stuff that was controllable. There was a... You knew it would go off in your mind. Your head would say, I cannot not box out Derek. If I don't box out Derek, everybody's going to stop practice. Donick, no box out. Everybody on the line, down and back. 5, 10 seconds, whatever. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be. There's a lot of methods on how you get that attention to detail. But, again, I have been sitting here going, I don't want you to have to move on from Brian Callahan because they're going to lose. They're going to lose games. But that's the kind of thing, I cannot defend that. There's too many times that's happening in a game.
That's where, you know, again, coaches have this idea, this template of how they want their team to be. They have this roadmap and, you know, things that they want to accomplish and how they want their team to look. But you are the architect of it, but you got to have people to your idea has to be felt throughout the locker room. So you got to have people that promote what you're trying to get out of your team. He's trying to promote, you know, the culture of the team. So when you do that, when you have enough of those guys in the room that is, you know, buying into what the coach said, that's because new coaches, I mean, first or second year coaches, they're still trying to get you to buy into what they're doing. You got to have veteran guys that make sure that everybody else buys in. And it's not, and I said that because it's not a fear of the coach. When you have respect of a coach and there's a buy-in, those other people, They're not afraid of the coach. They're afraid of disappointing me as a veteran guy.
That's a good. That's the best way to
exactly.
have it happen.
They're afraid, like, coach ain't going to be in the room, in the wide receiver's room, when we go in there by ourselves. That's the time where we family now. Now, I'm going to chew you out because I can do it in this setting. They don't want that disappointment. Especially those young guys, they don't want that type of disappointment where I'm disappointing the veteran guys because they're working damn hard to set a culture here, and I'm disappointing the veteran guys. Not let alone the coach, it's the guys in the locker room.
After the Colts defeated the Titans 41-20, our friend of the station, Jeremy K. Gover, went into the Colts locker room. Michael Pittman was answering questions. And Jeremy got this response from Michael Pittman, which has spread around the internet. And I want to know what Derek Mason thinks upon hearing what Michael Pittman had to say about the Titans even before the game started. Here is that clip.
When you hear the crowd turn on the home team like that, just in general, not necessarily here specifically, is there a blood in the water type mentality for you guys? I mean, every team, every coach, they're all looking for any kind of advantage they can get. I think that'd be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of seen it on the pregame intros. They kind of looked a little sluggish. They're kind of walking around. Nobody was really bouncing. And right then and there, like, we all sat there and we're like, they don't want to play today. And I think that's how we found our edge today, is just mentally we thought that we wanted to play more than they did.
That was Michael Pittman after the game, thanks to our friend Jeremy K. Gover for providing the audio. Derek, you played 15 years in the NFL. I don't think anybody ever questioned your work ethic. Now, Brian Callahan was asked about that today. And he said, paraphrasing, when you win as decisively as the Colts did against the Titans, you can say those sorts of things, but did not put too much stock into what Pittman said. But I've been waiting since I saw this quote from Gover roughly 24 hours ago. I've been waiting to hear what you have to say. Now, we only have about 3 minutes until we have to go to break, so try to sneak it in there. But I want you to take as much of that time to react to what Pittman just said.
It's disappointing, and the way they played, I believe it's true. It's disappointing, and by the way that they played, I think it's true.
Because give the example on the first play of the game.
And you're absolutely right, Willie.
Because I didn't see it. You mentioned it.
It was the pass. It was the second play. I think it was the second play. The first play was a run play. It was the second play, I believe.
So the play before the interception.
Yes, play before the interception. Ward throws an out route. I think it was the second play. He throws a seven-yard out.
Second and nine from the 36.
Yep. He throws a 5 to 7 yard out. Hit your foot at five or four and roll to seven. The ball was incomplete, and I'm looking at it on the screen like, man, he threw that like it was. He just the throw didn't match the route. I'm like, did somebody run it? Did he throw it too soon? He was supposed to. What happened here? And then I went back and looked at the All-22 this morning, and I looked at it three times because I'm like, man, I know I'm not seeing what I think I'm seeing. At least it's the beginning of the game too. I saw Calvin Ridley run a 5 to 7 yard out. He came out of his break, and he wasn't running full speed. He was not running full speed. Hence, that's why the ball seemed like it was too far. You have Calvin Ridley doing that second play into the game. I'm just watching the field, and I'm sure Coach pointed that out, or he should have pointed that out. This is loafing to me. This is half-assing to me. You're the best. You're supposed to be the number one wide receiver. And this is, forget the drops, but you're supposed to be our number one wide receiver. And this is how you're running out? Second play of the game, well rested. We're trying to get the ball to you. And you don't come out of that break 100 miles per hour, bat out of hell. You're not coming out like that to catch the ball. Well, I believe exactly what he said. They wasn't ready. And their play was indicative of them not being ready.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your reaction all show long to the Titans' 41-20 loss to the Indianapolis Colts as the Titans fall to 0-3 again. But coming up next, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport will join us. And I am glad that we are having Teron on the program today. I'm always glad to have Teron on the program because I want to ask a question to him, beat reporter to beat reporter. And we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. He is presented each and every week by Bart Durham Injury Law. Now, Teron, I'm always glad to have you on the program, but I'm even more glad today because I want to ask you a question, beat reporter to beat reporter. You are a veteran beat reporter. I was a beat reporter. And when you are around a team every day, you pick up on things. You observe, you hear things. And I'll always remember during my time covering the Predators, walking into the dressing room, the losing dressing room, after the Predators lost the Winter Classic to the Stars at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. And long story short, I left that room. Nobody said this to me explicitly, but I left that dressing room knowing that Peter Laviolette was going to be fired any day. He was fired 5 days later. I heard you ask this question to Brian Callahan earlier today, but I want a straight yes or no answer and then some explanation, of course. Based on what you have observed and heard in the Titans locker room, has Brian Callahan lost the Titans locker room, yes or no?
And I would say no.
Okay. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I feel that way because when I asked some of the guys about that, the important thing that they said was they have talent and there's still reason to fight. So to me, it's like, okay, these guys haven't given up. And you would expect them not to give up, you know, 3 games into the season. But the fact that there's no finger pointing also, and that's something that I talked to Roger McCreary about and a couple other guys. Cody Barton had mentioned, you know, how guys have to just continue to stick together. And that tells me that he still has the locker room, because a sign of losing the locker room is when, you know, the offense starts blaming the defense and defense blaming the offense and vice, you know, all of that. I think that's a true sign that the locker room's lost.
How would you – I know that you are not a psychologist, but I'm going to ask you to play armchair psychologist here. How would you describe Brian Callahan's demeanor this season? I listened to his news conference after the game. I listened to his news conference today. He even said so himself. The worst thing that a coach can be is the story. But how would you describe how he's been handling all of the criticism that's been justifiably thrown upon him?
Yeah, I think the first couple of weeks it was fine. Today, it just seemed like there's a little bit of a crack in the armor. And that's just me just kind of outside looking in. I could tell the relief when the conversation shifted to, hey, you know, Cam Ward doesn't like the turf. You know what I mean? But we quickly brought it back to what it needed to be on, and that's this disaster of a start to the season. So I would say definitely not defeated, but I would say challenged, or even to use a word like that. I'm not going to say broken or defeated, but I would just say, you know, along those lines, like on the verge of it, I guess.
Now, TD, how is Denard Wilson approaching, you know, this after a loss? Because, you know, the first week, you know, it seemed like they did a pretty good job. Second half sort of got away from, you know, them a little bit, but they managed to keep the game close, gave the team an opportunity to win. They didn't, you know, obviously they didn't win. Then the second game, you know, Big Tavondre's not playing. You see some chink in the armor, especially in the second half. This game, it seems like it was a full-out just, you know, a valve release. You know, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't get to the quarterback, and when they did, they didn't get the guy on the ground, and there was holes in their passing game. How did Denard Wilson address that?
Yeah, well, I haven't talked to him. He speaks tomorrow, so I can't really tell you for sure how.
Well, how the other guys? You've spoken with the other guys. How are they taking it on defense?
They're taking it personally. I think the biggest thing that came out of the locker room, and it was a little distorted because a lot of the guys were gone by the time we got in there because there was a bit of a gap between, you know, Brian Callahan getting to the locker room and then getting to the podium. So, but the guys that I did talk to, you know, tackling is something that they have a big issue with. And, you know, they don't like that. And that's something that they're taking personally. And I think the focus is more on the runs, right? The fact that Jonathan Taylor, he had four broken tackles caused on that touchdown run. You know, that's something the guys were upset about. You know, they're upset about how things are starting to unravel in the fourth quarter as well.
Now, can you see, because, you know, I praised Calvin Ridley last week for, you know, coming back, or was it the week before, coming back and playing a much better game than he did the first game. This game, it's back to the drop passes. It's back to me, the not running routes full speed. That first route, watched it three to five times, and he didn't run that route full speed. What has been that thing between he and Cam Ward? Are they still, because it seems now he's going a little bit more to Elik Isle manner, and rightfully so, the kid's making some plays. But it just seemed like after that touchdown drop, it was like, okay, I'm going to have to find one of these other cats that can kind of, you know, make some plays for him, because right now Calvin's just not doing it.
Yeah, no, I asked Ward about that, and when I asked him that question, I cut out the likely answer he was going to give, which was, okay, you know, I make bad throws, so I can't get on. I cut that out by mentioning that. You know, and he said he still has confidence in Calvin. He knows he's going to need him. He's going to keep going to him, and that's pretty much where he is with that. So, obviously, Io Manor is emerging as a guy that is going to get a lot of targets. And I think Ward, his mindset is more just throws to whoever's open, and he's not really concerned about who it is. He just wants to hit the open man, which I think, you know, as a rookie – having that approach is superb. Mm-hmm.
Teron Davenport is with us, going back through yesterday's loss, Titans against the Colts. Teron, let me hit you with the T'Vondre Sweat outlook. From what you understand, is it a high ankle sprain that is the issue? Or, see, and was it originally a high ankle sprain?
I don't know what it was originally. It's an interesting situation, because I remember on Wednesday him saying, hey, I'm playing. And, you know, it was unprovoked. I just asked him what he needed to do to get on the field, and I was like, in regards to practice. And he said, you know, he's just going to continue to rehab and work it. And then I said, okay, well, what about playing? And he said, oh, I'm playing on Sunday. So I don't know, like, what really, took it from that to being placed on IR, because I did see him run on it on Thursday, and, you know, that was during individual period. That was the only day he practiced. So I don't know, honestly, what to tell you on that one.
Either way, regardless of how it happened, I'm really concerned about his entire season at this point, because he was already trying to play catch-up. Now this happens. We know how a high ankle sprain, especially for a guy who plays his position, that's going to linger for a while. So, that is just such a tough blow for a team that needs guys like him who was, you know, has promising ability to be there and continue to get better. And I'm really concerned whether that can happen or not.
Well, yeah, of course. And I think when you look at a guy that big also, you got to factor that in, because every step on that ankle is taking a lot. You know what I mean? So that's something else to consider.
Yes. So it's a worst case scenario, Teron, in so many ways. my approach, and I've said this on the air many times, I'm not as concerned about the one-loss record as I am. I want to find pieces, especially if I'm Mike Borgonzi, I want to find pieces that I can take forward and build around and know what holes I have to fill. Decrease the amount of holes. But with the loss of Sweat now, we still don't know what Latham's going to look like. Maybe you can give us some insight there. But I see some promising things with DK and Io Manor, but they need more of those.
Yeah, they need more players. That even when everybody's healthy, I mean, that's always been the case. That's nothing new. They do need more players. Latham is still a work in progress. I don't know what else to tell you. It's the same issue as it was to start the season. And coming into this season, there was an understanding and an expectation that they were trying to set that, you know, don't necessarily expect the Lombardi Trophy to be marched down Broadway. And I think that's an accurate depiction of where they are right now. And they feel that there's time to turn things around, but the definition of turn things around for this franchise is different from what it may be for, you know, a team like the Texans, who has been a playoff contender the last couple of years.
I admire how Cam Ward is handling himself so far. He is doing his best. I love the makeup he's got. And maybe, Teron, you can give us some insight on how he's holding up. But I don't think this environment right now is making it easy for him to have any success. And I worry that after a while he could unravel if this is what he's going to have every week. So tell me what you're seeing, because I love how he takes ownership of stuff that he probably doesn't have to, but he takes it anyway.
Yeah, he's done that all his life. You know, that's something that his dad told me he learned back in high school, where even if it wasn't his fault, he was going to take the blame, you know, and that's just, it's a part of his makeup as a quarterback. As far as the part about avoiding being broken or unraveling, I think the big thing is he leads the league in sacks, right, 15 times. But it's interesting because he feels as though a good part of them are his fault. And so he's like, you know, my self-awareness is what's going to keep me from being broken, so to speak. So we'll see. I think he is pretty strong mentally. I know, you know, just from being able to interact with his family and talk to them, he comes from a strong background and one that brought him up to be mentally tough. So that's a good part of it. But you can only be so tough mentally and handle so much. And the young man has already handled an awful lot in these three games. So we'll see, but I would say that he will be fine.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D. Mason, Vingan, and Donick. He is presented each week by Bart Durham Injury Law. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
I appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Yep. Teron Davenport on the program. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your Titans reaction. But coming up next, it is indeed 4 o'clock. I'm just going to go with it.
Okay.
It was a mistake, but I like it, so we're going to do it. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, will join us next for his weekly segment. The Commodores, by the way, defeated Georgia State 70-21 on Saturday night with Willie Donick in attendance. The most points Vanderbilt has scored in a game in more than 100 years. We will discuss that and more with Clark Lee coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.